Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We now welcome aboard Ian Eagle. Great play-by-play voice. Westwood One, CBS, Nets, NBA, NFL, does it all. Ian, good morning. How are you, brother?
Hey, good morning. Moose.
How's everything, all right?
Yeah, man. Everything's cool. Everything's good. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. We're talking, obviously, reacting to everything that's happened so far through, 15 weeks of the NFL. Ian, we asked this question before. You think we all like parity. We all like, the NFL, each and every week anyone can lose. But do you think sometimes, the lack of great teams where, you see New Orleans come back down to earth, the Rams, yep, even with their record, come back to earth. You think the lack of great teams, do you think that hurts the league?
I think we have to get used to it, to be perfectly honest. I think what the Patriots had, the model they had, is not going to be duplicated again. Even with a great quarterback, and there are plenty of them, young quarterbacks that are going to be very productive in this league. But the way the salary cap is set up, the way that we've seen things develop the last couple of years, if you're a really good team, odds are you're not going to be able to keep all your players, those players that do the dirty work, that will get paid more to go somewhere else and raise their profile. And I just don't see this current climate producing the great team year after year after year. So let's take New Orleans as an example. Great quarterback in Drew Brees. He's had an incredible career. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's one of the best to ever do it. We saw New Orleans win a Super Bowl and then go through a bit of a rut, 7-9 season, recoup some of the talent, build through the draft. And now at the end of Drew Brees' career, they've got a team that can compete. Not saying that they're world beaters, as we saw last night. They have come back down to earth. Philadelphia wins the Super Bowl last year with this incredible run. This year, dealing with injuries at their quarterback position, Nick Foles is back in. I think that's going to be the norm. I don't think it's a bad thing, by the way, but at this stage of the game, as we hit week 16 in the NFL, I don't think you can say definitively that somebody is a clear favorite in the NFC or the AFC right now.
I kind of want to say the Chargers, if I had to pick somebody, might be my number one in the AFC, because what they can do on both sides of the ball. Now, obviously, they might have to play an important road game in the postseason, but even now, we saw last week, they can win an Arrowhead. So I don't know. They've burned us before, but I'm kind of crushing on the Chargers right now.
Yeah, but you nailed it, Andrew. That's going to be the counterpoint for all the narratives going into the playoffs that, yes, the Chargers are really talented, and they are. I've had a bunch of their games this year. I had them early, and I was high on them before the season started. They play Kansas City in week one, and they get humbled. And the reaction from around the league is, the Chargers, it's just not going to come together for them again. It's an overreaction, as we know, after 1 week of the season. Bosa comes back defensively. They did a really good job without him in the lineup. And offensively, they're so much more multiple than they used to be because Melvin Gordon has turned himself into a great runner/receiver, Eckler, the perfect change of pace who can do so many things, and they've developed their talent very quickly. Love that Charger team. They got to get healthy, obviously. Think for Phillip Rivers, and there's this general feeling around the league that Rivers deserves a long playoff run, that he's done so much in his career. He's been so competitive. He's done it with some subpar teams and some no-name talent around him, that he's earned this right to go on at least one run and maybe take a shot at a Super Bowl.
And I think he does. I mean, honestly, I'd love to see. I'm rooting for him, Ian. And I love the message from, Lynn after the latest victory, going for two at the end of that game against Kansas City Chiefs. We are not the same old Chargers. And I think that team believes that this is not the Chargers of old, where they've had great regular season teams, but they've kind of been fraudulent, where kind of had a glass jaw, and they failed and have had miserable failures in the postseason, those Marty Schottenheimer teams. And Nate Keating missing field goals. I think this is a different Charger team. I think they can get themselves to a Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. And chemistry, which is such a big part of it. Let's take Philadelphia from last year when they went on the unexpected run. I had them very late in the year on a radio game when Foles stepped in, and it looked broken. I at least walked away from there. I remember driving home from Philly thinking to myself, wow, what a shame. They had everything going. Carson Wentz was having an MVP-type season. But the one part that you can never quite know for sure, because you're just not privy to it, is the chemistry aspect. I think the Chargers have great chemistry. And, look, we find out about teams in adversity. We're going to find out about the Rams right now. Things have been disjointed. Do they have enough to dig down deep and figure out what the problems are? And how do you handle the downtimes? Philadelphia handled it well, then went on the Super Bowl run. The Chargers, I think, similar to what we've seen in recent years with teams that just believe. And then when they win a championship, you look back on it and you say, yeah, that made a lot of sense. I remember that moment. It led to this moment. That's what the Chargers remind me of right now. They've had a few of those moments this year where you can look back and say, yeah, we should have known that they had championship metal.
Ian, one of the things that makes you and so beloved in this by fans and us in the industry is your sense of humor. Is there a tasteful Philip Rivers 9, 10, 11 kid joke that you can get into a broadcast, or is that all off limits?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
He's very prolific.
Yes.
At every possible level, this guy is prodigious. He is one of those players that I can tell you sincerely, when he walks into the production meeting, he changes the dynamic. He is so into it and competitive. And there are times, we've met with him so many times through the years, there are times where he walks in the room and you think, ooh, wait, Phillip's tired or Phillip's sick of doing these. And by the third question, he is going on and on. He's talking a mile a minute. He's looking around the room. He's gesticulating. He's just that kind of guy, and I can see why players love being around him. Now, the downside of it is he's so competitive. When things aren't going well, you don't know how that manifests itself, but he's so likable. He doesn't curse, by the way, too. That's a very definitive life decision by him. So amidst all of this talking, he talks a lot. You talk to defensive players around the league.
Oh, he talks.
Tell you, Philip Rivers. But he will not curse. You cannot get him to curse.
Huh.
And it's an interesting dichotomy because of just how into it he is. You would think it would slip out at some point. It doesn't.
You mentioned Nick Foles last year. I was stunned by the Eagles' performance on Sunday night in Los Angeles with Foles in at quarterback in place of the injured Carson Wentz. We saw the great run a year ago. Can you explain, Foles stepping in and the way that that team played and now getting themselves back into this playoff chase in the NFC?
Yeah, I was going through my charts yesterday, and I had Philly earlier in the year, so I just went to update everything that's gone on with them. And I found myself crossing out a lot of names, meaning they've had a boatload of injuries everywhere. In the secondary, they're ravaged by injuries. Defensive line, they've taken some hits. At the running back position, clearly taken some hits. Yet, I think this team has a belief in Nick Foles that they can win games. Sometimes there's just something that you can't quite comprehend with the dynamic of a team. And look, Carson Wentz is a fantastic quarterback. There are going to be questions whether or not he can stay healthy and truly remain on the field, or at least do it in the way that he currently plays. Andrew Luck learned the hard way. He missed an entire season based on the hits that he was taking. Of course, it was the shoulder problems, but he just put himself out there every game trying to make the extra play, make the extra yard. And at some point, I think he was smart enough. He's one of the smartest quarterbacks you'll ever sit down with. He was smart enough to realize, I got to change. I've got to alter the way that I play. And Wentz may have to go through a similar metamorphosis in understanding how he has to run his team and how he has to protect himself. Nick Foles is not only playing for the Eagles, he's playing for a contract. He's playing for a starting role somewhere else. Where could that be? Who will be looking at quarterbacks? Washington, Jacksonville. There will be teams in the market. Nick Foles' resume should allow him to have conversation with those kinds of teams. And I think he's looking to cash in. This is a big two-game stretch for Nick Foles to remind the rest of the league that he's still around and he can still win football games.
What about the other team you got this weekend in the Texans? Was it 10 of 11 wins now? The defense and J.J. Watt, relentless. But then offensively, as talented as Deshaun Watson is, they can't protect him, and there's so many issues. Where do you put them in your AFC hierarchy?
Yeah, it's hard to quantify with them. You look at the numbers and you say to yourself, this is one hell of a coaching job that Bill O'Brien has pulled off. They were 0-3. They were on the precipice of going to 0-4 with that Indianapolis game where Frank Reich went for it on fourth down in overtime. Didn't get it. Texans get a gift. And then they didn't lose again. They won 9 in a row. Now, you look at their current setup personnel-wise. They had to go out and get Demaryius Thomas. He's not the guy he once was, but still can be a productive receiver that you have to account for. DeAndre Hopkins is all world right now. I would say number one in the NFL. And I know that's a rotating list of wide receivers, but to me, he's the number one wide receiver in the league. Him and Watson have incredible chemistry. They miss Fuller. They miss QT. Miller got banged up. It doesn't make sense when you look at them offensively that they've been able to score enough points. But Watson is such a dynamic talent. And their defense is intimidating, it's fierce, and it's the reason why this team would make any serious noise come playoffs, because you're just not going to find better pass rushers, 1-2 punches, than the Texans have. And watch back. Just watch him. He's back. He's the guy that he was prior to all of these injuries. You have to deal with him, and offensive coordinators have nightmares trying to prepare for him.
Now, Kim Jones would often tell me that the pretzels down in Philadelphia are just off the charts if you're there for an Eagles game. Of all the stadiums that you've been to and arenas you have been to, best pregame meal or food for a broadcaster?
Well, I mean, let's keep in mind that I'm not the most ambitious eater.
No condiments. Yes.
Yeah, no condiments. My diet is that of an 11-year-old sixth grader. So what you may consider fine dining and what I may consider fine dining might be completely different perceptions. Philadelphia is actually pretty good. The NFL, if I had to pick one, the best pregame spread, I would say Green Bay is up there. Yeah, they have multiple options. They throw a little curveball your way occasionally with something that you wouldn't expect. But Green Bay is solid. Nice presentation, large seating area. That's also a big part of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing, the food's great, but I have nowhere to go with it. I need the combo. I need space. I'm a good guy, yeah. But I don't want the European seating. I don't need the family style.
I
need
best.
My own little area.
Keep away from me.
The truth is this. Truly, when I started in this business 25 years ago traveling.
We got 10 seconds.
All right, I was a people person. I was a people person.
Not anymore.
And then I met them.
We love you. Have a good day. Thanks for the time.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.